Tribute Sunday major if needed. That's always a good sign. We all know about the Ronald Leary injury. Speaking of, Leary listed as doubtful. Tight end James Hanna added with a knee injury. Could be an issue right there with some tight end depth. I know obviously Witten and Escobar, but Hanna always a viable backup type guy. Cowboys decide against putting Dez on the short-term IR despite them heavily considering it. They are going to go away from it. J.J. Wilcox stitched up, ready to build on strong week one performance. Very, very, very good to hear. Sproles and Dunbar, similar type players, very versatile, good options for their respective teams. And that's today's headlines, ladies and gentlemen. September 20th, 2015. For your Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, it is. It is the Dallas Cowboys 90-Minute Sunday. We are back here again. The new format, in fact, I believe this is the second week we are online during the games. Luckily this time, like last week, Cowboys don't have a game right now that we're in the middle of. I've got the red zone going right now, Falcons and Giants. Also, the Bills, who have decided to copy us and wear white at home for whatever reason, they're playing the Patriots. Those are the two games I'm really looking at right now. And, Dustin, today, the Dallas Cowboys, everyone's talking about Tony Romo. Everybody's talking about, can Tony Romo do it himself? Now, why? Why are they saying that? Because Tony Romo's not by himself. Tony Romo is... He's got a deep core of receivers, sure. Nobody that he has is a Dez Bryant. Nobody that he has is a Julio Jones or an Odell Beckham or whatever. But he's got a deep core of consistent playmakers. But nobody wants to give the guy any love. I mean, guys, you watch First Take. I watch First Take. I've seen these guys before at the office when I go in sometimes. Skip and Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless. Yeah, he might piss some people off, big Cowboy fan. Stephen A. Smith, however, kind of resonated with me a little differently than normal. Stephen A. Smith had some critiquing words for Tony Romo, and I'm pretty sure this is the audio of what Stephen A. had to say yesterday, Friday anyway, on First Take.
That I know that Tony Romo is gifted. I know that he's no scrub, considering the fact that he was no first-round pick, that the expectations were minimal and all of this other stuff. I totally get Skip Bayless.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tony Romo we're talking about here. Undrafted. This is Tony Romo we're talking about here. Skip Bayless. I'm looking at his numbers right now. 33,626 yards already. 65 completion percentage. I mean, completed about 65% of his passes. QBR, that's gone out there. The quarterback rating last year of 103, 113 the year before that. Tony Romo can ball. Mm-hmm. Nobody is making that argument. But let me tell you what makes me sick to my stomach.
Here we go.
About this quote from Chip Kelly. I am sorry. When is the requirement for winning going to be paramount? Last time I checked, when you talk about a quarterback, it's about what you do when it counts. How many games has Tony Romo been in that actually count? This is his 10th year as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. What is his record? 2-4. What? How many playoffs has he been in? 1, 2, 3, 4. That means 5. Going on 6. This man has missed the playoffs, okay? I am so sick and tired of everybody sitting there and kissing Tony Romo's you-know-what as if he's some Super Bowl champion. I am sorry, Dallas Nation, Cowboy Nation, the pathetic fans that they are. I can't stand in here, y'all. That's right, I said it. I'm talking about the fans. I'm talking about the fans, okay?
Well, Stephen A., I mean, Stephen A. is my boy, or at least he was my boy anyway until that. But he talks about, okay, Tony Romo has a 2-4 playoff record. Okay, he's been a starter in this league for 10 years, Dustin. Starter in this league for 10 years, 2-4 playoff record. What people don't seem to realize is that Tony Romo, you know, yeah, he has stats. He has this. He has that. You know, he's this, whatever. People don't understand just what he means to this organization, just how clutch he really is. And, you know, I know I've said this over and over and over again, and, of course, Sammy Watkins gets a catch today. He got me 0 points last week, and, of course, first down. I hate fantasy. What people don't understand is that, you know, Tony Romo is a more valuable player than they think. And I actually got into an argument the other day, again, with a Giants fan up here, and they tried telling me, Tony Romo is not elite. Tony Romo has done nothing. I started to defend him, saying, well, what about the 23 come-from-behind drives and game-winning drives and this and that? And they're like, well, yeah, well, what about all the times that he's choked in that situation? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I ask a Giants fan, can you honestly tell me, can you look me in the eye with a straight face and tell me right now Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Tony Romo? And first thing they go to, well, he's got rings. He's got 2 rings. What does Tony have? Tony doesn't have anything. Tony can't make the playoffs. Oh, he throws interceptions in the clutch. Eli's got 2 rings. So that's all they have to lean their head on.
There goes Chris. While we wait for Chris to get back, I guess I'll weigh in on Tony. My biggest concern is nobody seems to appreciate you until you're gone, right? We all think about that, you know, that girlfriend that we had and, you know, we thought we could do better. And then all of a sudden she's, you know, she's out of your life and you start to realize all those little things that you took for granted. I kind of compare that to Tony Romo. Romo might be that not as sexy as the supermodel girlfriend, but at the same time, treats you well, goes out there, produces, puts up big numbers, is consistent, and at the same time, everybody's dogging on him. Why? Why? You know, I'm a Romo fan, so it's hard for me to not come across as, you know, having a crush on the guy, but the whole thing is with Tony Romo, I just believe that, you know, from the bottom of my heart, no one's going to fully appreciate this dude until he's gone. Everybody seems to think that Troy Aikman, you know, came in right after, what's his face? Old Staubach. Sorry, there you go. Everybody seems to think that, you know, it was one after another. Everybody's forgetting those decades in between that were just miserable because you had to wait that long for that once in a lifetime. Yeah, exactly. You had to wait that long for that once in a lifetime guy to show up. I mean, before Romo stepped in, you had Bledsoe in the twilight of his career throwing. I mean, it looked like he couldn't even throw it with his offhand out there. That's how bad he looked. And then Romo comes in and he lights it up. I think it's all about the fact that people will refuse to admit that the Dallas Cowboys are America's football team. They were just ranked, once again, the number one professional sports team in all of the land. And, yeah, they haven't won. Yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl in a while. They haven't made a deep playoff run in a while. But, people, there would be no other team in the world where an undrafted free agent would stumble into a starting lineup job. Okay, stick with it, become great, and be able to deal and tolerate with this amount of pressure. If this was Jacksonville, no one would be talking about it. If Romo was on Jacksonville, there would be no expectations. There would not be, they got to make it a Super Bowl or it's a bust. if he was on, even in the New York media, you want to get nasty, fine. New York media, if he was in a New York team with the Giants or the Jets, it would be similar to, yeah, there would be pressure to produce, but it wouldn't be this, you know, Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl or bust. It's just people,
it would be in New York media because that's how New York treats everybody. I mean,
yeah.
When they drafted Geno Smith, it was Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah. Right as you dropped off, I was saying that Romo's that girl that you dump because you think you can do better, and then once she's once she's out of your life, you start to regret it, and you realize all those little things, and you're like, crap. And that's what I think is going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. I believe that ultimately it's going to go down like that, and people aren't going to appreciate anything until he's gone. So that's pretty much where I'm at on Tony Romo. I don't think he's solo. I think that he's one of the greatest elusive quarterbacks I've ever seen. I've seen, you know, people put together videos of him on YouTube, and I've seen him dip and dodge, and like, it's crazy. Got guys draped all over him, and somehow he backs out and avoids the sack. And yeah, he has been drilled.
Well, that's what he's known
absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. But I don't think, honestly, people go to the otsnn.com and go to the Stars Align page. Okay. That's THEOTSNN.com. Click on the Stars Align page. There's a video posted. Okay. Towards the top, it says Tony Romo, best scrambler of our time? ? He's not a Michael Vick scrambler, but the stuff that's in this video will blow your mind because people don't even remember half of it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The type of stuff that he does, it's like this guy truly has luck on his side. But then at the same time, he throws a pick six late in the game, 3 years ago, or he bobbles a football 8 years ago, and people are like, man, this guy is one of the most unlucky, can't get it done, unclutch guys. Well, it's like, well, dude, you got to take it with a grain of salt here. If you only consider clutch a fourth quarter drive every game for a touchdown to win the game, there's literally not many people that can do it, but Tony Romo's leading the way right now. So, I mean, what do you consider clutch? But realistically, this topic is Tony Romo solo? No, he's still got Jason Witten. Terrence Williams proved to be a giant, giant piece last year. Now he has to step into the number one ranks. And then Cole Beasley needs to go from just a slot receiver or a number three to that second option. Maybe a guy like Streak needs to step up. Finally we need to actually stick with the run. Maybe Randall needs to get 30 touches this game. Maybe we go back to the DeMarco Murray ways and we just control the time of possession. I know a lot of people did not like that last week about our game. I loved it, except for the fact that we didn't convert them into touchdown points. If you're going to eat up 10 minutes per offensive drive and you can't convert 7 points, it's almost not even worth the time that you took to get to those 3 points. Because it's so easy in today's air-it-out football game for a quarterback to get within field goal range if he has a decent receiver to throw to. So, against a team like Eli, I wasn't pumped about that because I'm watching us just absolutely, go circa 2014 to DeMarco Murray and 10-minute drive it. We open the game, and then what happens? We stall out in the red zone.
Yeah,
kick a field goal. And then, eventually the Giants got into the game, took a lead. If you're scoring touchdowns instead of field goals, that doesn't happen. Now, defensively, this team has gotten a little bit better. I'll kind of jump the gun on Jones, though. I'm worried about Jones. I was really ready to be like, this is the next good, big guy, da da da. And I've seen him burn.
He was not
a lot
last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hard on Brandon Carr, but Jones gave up a couple bad plays last week.
I don't really remember any plays where I'm like, oh, geez, Jones should have made that play. I just don't remember really ever seeing him or hearing his name. I don't think he really did anything negative or positive. I don't think he did anything at all.
Yeah, and that's not what I want to see. You know, I want to see him back in one of those safety spots. Hey, Claiborne looked sharp. He looked good. You know, yeah, he's always been a talented dude, but it's always been injuries. So, you know, there's nothing really that we can say as far as, I don't know, being optimistic, but it's just one of those things. Health is his demon. You know, it's never been his skill or his ability that's held him back. Gregory just looked awesome. He was on Eli right as he released the ball so many times, so close to like a 4-sack game. I mean, crazy. The only guy who did register a sack last week was the guy who signed the big Crawford. But, you know, they were really close in a lot of plays. So I was very optimistic about that. I was pumped, actually, about that D-line, even without, you know, Greg Hardy. But what happens? High ankle sprain. And now we're talking Gregory out for a little bit. So Romo's not alone, people. Okay, this team's getting better. It's growing. Jason Garrett every year is getting better and growing as a head coach. The staff is getting better and growing as a staff, as a whole. Tony Romo is by himself in one of the most solo positions the league has ever seen, which is the quarterback. You are holding the football 95% of any type of possession. The quarterback touches the football. That's why you're going to get the pressure heaped on
nobody
you.
Nobody can run a play without a quarterback at least touching it once.
Well, yeah, I mean, punts, kickoffs. That's why I said, you know, that's why I said 95%. But I just think he's not alone. We do have some running backs. Darren McFadden didn't really show up at all last week. I don't know if that's because he doesn't know the playbook, they're not comfortable with him, or if he just truly has become a random feature back. That's too bad for a guy who was really hyped up.
Yeah, true. I mean, the thing is with this whole situation, and first of all, the Buffalo D is making Tom Brady look silly. I'm watching this. This actually is enjoyment for me. But the thing is with me is with Romo, yeah, you know, I understand what he's saying. Colin Cowherd, you know, listed out all the reasons as to why he won't be a Hall of Famer if he doesn't win a ring and things like that. I understand. And we both, I think, agreed with everything Colin said. We don't have the audio available at the moment, but I think we both agree on everything that he said. However, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Romo, he doesn't get the love that he deserves, you know. I don't know. It's a tough situation for me to mention when it comes to Tony Romo, just because I know what he can do personally. And I do feel bad about the fact that he doesn't have a ring yet. And a lot of the mistakes that he made, all of those interceptions that people reference, all of those fumbles that people reference, were when he had nobody else around him. I mean, he had to score 40 points a game to win games. And, you know, it came down to, okay, we might have had a lead. Our defense blows that lead, and he's got to drive us down the field. And, you know, when you have to every single week be the hero, you know, you're only human. I mean, Tony Romo doesn't have a cape on with a big S on his chest. I mean, he's a great quarterback, but he's not immortal, okay? So when you have to do that every single week, you're not always going to be successful. And in this day and age with social media the way that it is, people are only going to remember the negatives. They're not necessarily going to remember the positives. And so everybody wants to reference the Tony Romo when he put it
did
right
you
in
see,
London,
Chris,
London
did
Fletcher's
you see
line.
Last week? They're going to want to – last week – Kurt Warner put in his top four quarterbacks from week one. Romo wasn't even on the list. They put Mariota ahead of Tony Romo for week one performances for a quarterback. He led a game-winning drive that ended the game and gave them a one-point win. That should have been number one.
Yeah.
And but this is the type of, you know, everybody, I don't get it. Just he's likable. He's not out, you know, hitting girls, banging prostitutes, doing drugs, rolling up dollar bills in the bathroom. He's a family guy. He's got a supermodel wife, former Miss Wisconsin or whatever. He's got two cool kids. I mean, the guy stays out of trouble. He's textbook. He's a good – it's not a dick like Brady and Belichick. We're on to next week. If you want to ask me anything, you can ask me about next week, or you can ask me about this football game. We're on to next week. He's genuinely an awesome
dude.
That actually
sounded pretty accurate. I like that.
So, but this is my point. He's genuinely a good dude. But everybody's like, oh, screw this guy. Like, it's as if he walks around pompously and he's like, yeah, I'm the man. Yeah, I should be MVP every year. Like, they treat him as if he walks around with the T.O. presence, that I love me some me, like, feel. That's not Tony Romo, people. He's not this dick. He's a very modest, humble guy who's super excited to be doing this as his career because he remembers where he came from. He's an undrafted guy. He's not a first-round prospect who made millions of dollars coming out of the – no, he's not. He was on the practice squad. He was, like, third in line. He was barely on the team. And then finally made his up and got his chance. And that's credit to Parcells. But, people, I just don't get it. I don't get the hatred for this dude. You know, he's had some late-game mistakes, whatever. But come on. It's just – it blows me away. You know, it just blows me away.
Well, Romo's going to be put to the test today. And a lot of people are saying that this stretch without Dez Bryant – is going to define his career. A lot of people are saying that, okay, if the Cowboys miss the playoffs without Dez, then they're saying, okay, this was a DeMarco and a Dez team, and Romo is just typical Romo. But if Tony is able to carry the weight on his surgically repaired back and bring this team without Dez...
That's another thing. The guy gets so beat up, you know, these injuries are not rolling an ankle or breaking a pinky. The guy got messed up, back-to-back surgeries.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy needs – they need to make a movie about the dude because he's done nothing.
Do you remember when he broke a rib and –
punctured lung, comes back in, throws the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
Or game-winning catch that got him for the field goal against San Fran.
Dude's a warrior.
I mean, that's as much of a hero as you can possibly be. It's just, it's one of those things where, you know, the handful of bad plays that result in either a turnover or a lost game outweigh the thousands of great plays. And I don't get it.
Well, I was saying, though, if Romo can carry the weight on this back, on the surgically repaired back that he has, and he can lead this, I think it's safe to say, makeshift team now into the playoffs, or at least keep them competitive until we get Dez back, I think it will say a lot about Romo, and it will say a lot about his fortitude, so to speak, because, I mean, this is Brady-esque from him. I mean, can you name, besides Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, which are two, by the way, B receivers, mind you, could you name really any all-star, superstar Patriots wide receiver in the last 10 years outside of Randy Moss? I mean, you really can't. And he makes these guys, you know, which in some cases you could call scrubs, into stars. And that's sort of what Tony has to do here. I mean, we know what Williams can do. We've seen him a little bit last year, but he was left open because everyone was doubling Dez. So now, okay, what can he do when he's the number one guy? We know what Beasley's capable of. Obviously, we know what Witten's capable of. We're going to see a lot of, in my opinion, Devin Street, Lucky Whitehead, okay, the two guys who are sort of the 4 and 5 receiver options. We're going to see what they can do and if they can earn their spot and make their mark on this roster. And, you know, Romo's going to find them. He loves to spread the ball out. I mean, the Eagles – if there's any team in this league that knows what Dallas likes to do, it's Philly. I mean, I don't think Jason Witten's going to have more than 3 catches this game. They're not going to leave him open up the seams. So he's going to have to spread the ball out and find guys.
This is what I'm worried about. Maxwell got made – I mean, Maxwell looked like a fool last week against Julio Jones. This is a guy who said he wanted to show Seattle they made a mistake by paying the wrong guy, meaning they should have kept him and let Richard Sherman go. But he's their number one corner. He's not a Revis Island guy. He doesn't just follow one guy around and try to take him out of the game. But he will, you know, go to the side with the better receiver on it. So I'm predicting we're going to see a lot of Maxwell and Williams because I just think Beasley's too quick and shifty for anybody, to be honest with you, because I think Beasley off the line on a slant is unstoppable. But
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be the perfect game for Maxwell to look like he's redeeming himself, because he did so bad last week at defending Julio Jones that it's just going to be, it's going to be frustrating to watch as a Cowboys fan, I think, because I don't think that they're going to come out, you know, as dominant as they normally would come out. But at the same time, who the hell knows? You know, Tony has faith in all these guys. You know, I don't think he's afraid to run an offense without Dez Bryant, because they said the whole preseason they ran the offense without Dez because Dez wasn't really available. So I think Tony's more comfortable with these guys, to be honest with you, than with Dez, because when we saw Dez out there, I highly doubt it was based on the injury, because the injury happened when he did, like, when he caught a, like, cross. He did like a five and then ran across the field, and then I don't know. I think that's when he broke his foot, and that I believe was in the third quarter. So that looked like garbage with Dez. So I just don't know. I don't know if it's the whole offense that's rusty, if it's Tony, if it's the receivers or what. They surely have to get it figured out ASAP, because Philly, and I'm predicting it now, they're going to be bringing the house on Romo, and they're not going to let him have that time. Right, and they're not, but they're going to come, but I don't think it's going to be the obvious. I think they're going to come with a lot of disguised blitzes, because they don't believe that Romo can, pre-snap figure out what exactly is going on beyond the obvious. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of, you know, like just disguised, tricky defensive blitzes.
What do you think our D-line and our linebackers are going to be able to do against a Philly offensive line that essentially is one, maybe two guys that are household names? But other than that, it's a pretty mild Philadelphia offensive line.
I mean,
do you think we'll be able to get pressure? Because, I mean, think about it. Sam Bradford is literally like the phrase that you've coined so well, made of glass. I mean, Bradford takes a couple of hits, and he's done, and bring in Mark Sanchez. So are we going to be able to get pressure on the man with no knees? Or is Sam Bradford going to be circa 2006 Sam Bradford and just throw the ball all over us today?
Well, Philly is a fast-paced, high-octane offense. They put the little counter up on every game to show you in between each play how much time they take.
Yeah.
I think that...
Which is annoying, by the way. I hate that.
Yeah, it's annoying, and it's annoying when they put up their little Twitter thing that says "Fly Eagles, fly." It's like, okay, you couldn't be more one-sided about this.
you don't see
hashtag America's Team up there. So,
let's start that movement.
Seriously, I think that it could go one of two ways. Bradford could come out, and as long as there are guys open in 3 seconds, he's going to look like a freaking Pro Bowler against us. And that's all on Carr. That's all on Claiborne. That's all on our defensive backs. Because while the defensive backs rely on the pass rush, it's vice versa. You know, the pass rush needs to be patient. They can't always get to the quarterback in 1.5 seconds. So they need the defenders to actually put up. So the guy has to hold the ball in the pocket a little bit longer than he would like to. But I'm going to be honest. I'm worried because I know Philly's O-line is a lot better than New York's. And New York's looked great. We only got one sack. There weren't a lot of huge under pressure throws that Eli Manning had to make
last week. We did push the pocket around, though. We did push the pocket around a little bit. And touchdown Atlanta. Giants are down 7-0. Anyways.
Yeah. Great.
But
what I'm saying is Randy Gregory was a major reason why we were getting pressure. And now that Gregory's out, next man up scenario, I don't even know who the next man is that's up. So
it's going to be DeMarcus Lawrence, and I believe they're going to bring in that draft pick from Purdue. Why am I forgetting his name right now? But our fifth-round pick, Ryan Russell from Purdue, I believe is going to get some time today. You're going to see a little bit more of action from the middle with Crawford. Our ends aren't really going to crash in as much. We're going to try to push the pocket up the middle and push the O lineman back into Bradford and make him roll out. And once we make him roll out, you know, Sean Lee, Anthony Hitchens, it's just they're going to pick him off like he's like he's a mouse and a hawk. So, I mean,
I don't know.
I don't like that idea
at all because Bradford's actually decent on his feet, and I think obviously he'll be looking to slot to protect himself.
But he's also going to be timid, though. Think about it, though. I mean, if he rolls out and he's got pressure coming, he knows his history. He knows that he's got one shot in Philly to be successful and to stay healthy, or else he's probably not going to be in the league much longer. I mean, if he's getting chased around all day, chances are he's going to panic, throw the ball away or go down and not want to take the big hits. He's not going to hang in the pocket and try to make a play and sit in there knowing pressure's coming, knowing he's going to take a hit and try to deliver a ball because he knows he can't take many more hits in the lower part of his body or else, like I said, his career could be over. So if it were me, if I know that I have a problem on the outside and I've got a problem, with my edge rushers at the moment, I would push the pocket up the middle. I mean, we're going to stuff the run. I want to see DeMarco Murray basically do nothing today like he did last week. That would make me really happy. And, you know, they got Jordan Matthews. And this Nelson Aguilar, okay, he's a rookie, whatever. But I really just don't think this Philly team has the weapons. I think that the reason why Philly has such an allure around them is because this Chip Kelly offense, this run and gun, not pro style, but this, the style that you run in college there, the spread style, the fast plays, the unorthodox, you know, slants and drops and quick throws. That's what scares people. Not who is on the field scares people. Because Philly, on paper, not even a top 10 team. So I think that if we just play our game, I think we'll be all right, man. I think we are much more talented, even without Dez, than this Philly team is.
Yep. I agree. Top to bottom we are, but, hey, it's in Philly.
Touchdown Patriots. Damn it. Sorry, I have a Bill defense on fantasy. So, okay, sorry. Keep going.
No, that's all I got. I just said we're better on paper. But I don't know if it's going to translate because we were undefeated on the road last year. A lot of people forget about that.
That is true. We were unbeaten on the road, and we have essentially the same team. I mean, pretty much everybody's the same other than, you know, obviously not having Dez in today and not having DeMarco. But other than that, the O-line's the same. The other receivers are the same. The defense has a few new faces, but mostly they're the same. So this is a team that if they can stay disciplined and they can stay, you know, they can stay true to their game, they can make some noise. And, you know, I honestly feel that this team can sweep the division, can go undefeated on the road again. And I really feel that once we get our swagger back and we get Dez back late in the season and we have Greg Hardy, who we're going to see in a couple weeks, and we get Randy Gregory back. And I mean, I really feel that this is the building and the making of a dynasty. I feel that this is the building and the making of what we had in the 90s. Because you look at the 90s teams, and yeah, they had the great quarterback, okay, the aging but great quarterback, which we have now. We had one great receiver on the outside, 88, which we have again, 88. Great tight end, Jay Novacek, and now Jason Witten. That compares up. Moose Johnson, okay, we had a little bit better fullback back then. But then you look at the offensive line. One of the best offensive lines ever. Same thing probably what we've got now. And then that defense. Now, the only difference was the secondary, with Deion and that Deion-led core was a little bit better. But, wasn't. Yeah, but I'm just saying that the defense got things done. I mean, Dallas was just outside being a top 10 defense statistically last season, and there's probably only a couple of guys that you could name if you weren't a Cowboy fan who you've even ever heard of. So I think that they're building around this defense. You notice they had one offensive draft pick this year. They're building around this defense. And
tell you
what
if they had kept DeMarco Murray, it would be more like a dynasty because we got nobody back there that compares to Emmitt Smith.
Well, no, that's why I left him out. But, I mean, do you feel then that if we got the deal done with Murray and we kept Dez, whether Dez is hurt or not, if we exact same team we have now, except keep Murray in the lineup, do you think that this is hands down the Super Bowl favorite for this season?
Super Bowl appearance. I mean, if we had kept DeMarco Murray, kept everybody drafted intelligently like we did. I mean, well, like we appeared to have. I would have absolutely been like, okay, this team went 12-4. We got all the same guys back. You know, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to preserve Romo. We're going to run the ball a lot. His efficiency is going to be up there. His confidence is going to be up there. But it's ridiculous. Couldn't get the deal done. Now he's playing for Philly. You know, he on record, you know, I don't really care. You know, I know some of the guys over there, but those kind of feelings are gone. Like, no hostility. Dude, if he scores a touchdown today, just watch him. Watch DeMarco Murray. Either after a giant run or a touchdown, he's going to be – he was the last week of the season, the first playoff game, when he scored a touchdown, and it meant something. This dude was amped up like a middle linebacker after he got an interception. Like, he was amped. Okay, so –
He was.
I don't,
he was.
I really don't buy Murray's BS about, well, I don't really think like that, and, you know, we're past all that. No, no. It's not that at all. It's you purposely signed within the division to stick it to Jerry because you were offended with the offer they gave you. It's whatever, man. I mean, everybody on this team was presented about redoing contracts, reconstruction, all kinds of different things to give the team salary flexibility to go out and get some pieces. And, you know, I'm assuming Murray was the only guy who didn't want to do that. But at the same time, Murray's got to look out for number one. You know, he realizes, I got like a 5-year window in this league. You know, I get beat up. I shouldn't have even been here with the injury I had coming out of college. So he wanted to get paid. I cannot fault him for being a man. I would have done the exact same thing. And I'm petty. I'm petty, too. I hold a grudge. And that's why I know that he purposely signed within the division to say F you, Jerry, because I would have done the same thing. Brett Favre did the same thing. All these guys that feel like they were wronged by a franchise, they do the exact same thing. They get pissed off because of the business side, and they're just like, hey, all right, you didn't want me. Guess what? I'm going to make your life a living hell 2 weeks out of every season.
True. Wow, the Redskins up 10-0 on St. Louis. See, I put Tavon Austin in simply because he had a rushing score and a punt return touchdown last week against Seattle, of all teams. So I figured maybe I could squeeze out some points from him this week, but... Man, you see, that's the beauty of fantasy and the beauty of the NFL. You just never know week to week, man. It really is a gamble.
Yeah, but you also don't get points from a single player based on defense or special teams. It goes towards defense and special teams. So he could have ran back a kick. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. But he also was their leading receiver last week, too. So either way, I mean, it was an impulse pick, whatever. Screw it. But... I mean, the thing is with me, we've jumped all over the place today. Again, if you want to call in, 713-955-0359. We've had some people in the chat box, but I think everybody is mostly focused on watching football today. But, you know, again, if James, who spoke with us last week down in the city, wants to call in, if he's listening, great. I think he's at work, but either way, that'd be great. We're all over the place today. We're not really following the format. We're just kind of talking Cowboys. That's what we do. Here in the Stars Align, 90-minute Sundays. It's about 1:40 in the afternoon. We got roughly 50 minutes left to go in the program. And the one thing I wanted to ask you here, Dustin, is we're looking at Dez Bryant's timetable of return. And news came out today that he had a bone graft put in order to speed up his recovery time. Now, some people are saying, yes, it'll help speed up the recovery time. Other people are saying, not so fast. Bone graft necessarily means he might have a 10 to 12-week timetable now instead. I mean, we both know that Dez heals faster than most humans. We all know that he comes back from injury pretty well. I haven't even really ever seen him get injured for the most part. I mean, we know he's a big, tough guy, strong guy. Do you feel now that we might not have Dez until November, or do you think he actually comes back in this 6 to 7 week time frame?
So the thing that worries me the most is the fact that Kevin Durant had this exact same injury. For anybody who follows basketball, he did what Dez has already been on record by saying, came back as soon as possible, lasted four games. We broke it, out for the year. So that, I think we all can agree, would be the absolute worst-case scenario, and would just thrash any chance of this team to even make a playoff run, let alone make it to the Super Bowl. So I think as long as we don't go 0-4 over these next four games, he's got to just relax. You know, don't be conditioning. Don't be anything, dude. Like, I looked up this injury. It's like the little bone that connects the pinky toe to the foot. I mean, but it's responsible for so much of your balance and the pain that can come from, you know, putting too much pressure on one side of your foot or the other can completely throw off your ability to move. So it sucks. It's one of those nagging injuries that cannot be rushed. And even if, let's say this dude doesn't even get on his feet for 5-6 straight weeks, it doesn't matter. It's still not going to be healed. People are saying, I mean, surgeons, doctors, everybody is saying, you know, you guys are crazy if you think he's going to be back before 10 weeks. And that was before what you just said, that little, you know, thing that he had done. I mean, people were saying this right when it got diagnosed. They're like, oh, yeah, four to six weeks, LOL. Like, that's not what was going to be the case. He was literally going to be done for the majority of the year. And people don't want to hear that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm more worried about if he comes back and chemistry is gone between him and Romo. I mean, a lot of people would say that they were like one of the best 1-2 punches in the league. And he, that 4th-and-2, Romo to Bryant for the catch that wasn't a catch, that's now a catch against Green Bay, that I don't think that happens this year, even if the same scenario plays out, because I don't think Romo and Dez are going to have that connection that they normally have because of all the weeks that Dez is going to be gone. And that worries me, because Dez is obviously, to me, the best wide receiver in the game. So you have to have that. You know, Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson haven't had a lot of games apart from each other, and that's why it's so easy for Stafford to hook up with Calvin. So you don't want any kind of anything in between, anything to mess with that chemistry. So while I don't want him to rush back, obviously I'm not going to, you know, be upset if all of a sudden he miraculously heals out, you know, after the bye week and he's ready to go. It sucks we won't have him for New England. It sucks we won't have him for New Orleans. But, hey, it's the NFL, and you got to move on. And you have to, I don't know, I guess next man up it, even though this is a ridiculous talent. But, man, it's just too bad. I'm very fearful of him even taking the 10 or 12 weeks coming back and then having it just re-injure and just end our year. Because, like I said, we can all agree, if Dez isn't around for the playoffs, this team is not going anywhere.
Oh, I think we both So I was sitting down, I was checking stats and stuff. I think we can both agree on that. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Durant had the same injury. Of course, he missed a full season, and now they're saying he may never be the same again and blah, 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 blah. But
and this is a guy who is probably around 60 pounds lighter than Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
So he's carrying around less weight on that injury.
But in basketball, you're doing a lot more pivoting. You're doing a lot more jumping. I mean, you're jumping constantly in every single play, a lot more running up and down, up and down, up and down, back and forth for, you know, it's just basketball is one of those things that's just punishing on your ankles and feet. I mean, yeah, football is too, but basketball, it's just punishing on your ankles and feet. So, I mean, I'm looking at this as Kevin Durant came back too soon. I think everybody knows that. Kevin Durant was like, look, I want to help my team. And I think it was an ego thing, too. I you know, everyone's talking about, oh, Russell Westbrook. You know, I got into an argument with somebody. Actually, it got pretty heated, to be honest with you, comparing Russell Westbrook to Jordan. And I'm like, are you, like, out? Like, are you on something? Like, what the hell? You know, what's wrong with you? And basically, to me, I look at the situation. I say, okay, Westbrook rushed back, re-aggravated it, had to end up missing the whole season. Dallas doesn't have to do that. they have the luxury of letting him sit out because they're deep enough. Oklahoma City was really a one, maybe two-man team. We've got a decent core of guys here. We don't have to, we don't have to rush Dez back. Plus, we just locked him up for 5 years. So, and you know, Dez is young enough. Sure, he won't have Romo towards the end of his contract, but we'll have him for long enough. Why would we rush Dez back to risk him hurting it again and potentially have it be career-threatening when we just gave him $70 million? You know, so I, you know,
I certainly don't think the team will rush him back. Not at all.
No,
I don't think so either. I don't think the team or the coaching staff, even in the slightest way, will rush him back. But I think the pressure of our performance in his absence will rush him back. If we are losing football games and it's very noticeable that the offense is not the same, it's going to be Dez rushing Dez back. Absolutely.
That's what I've worried about, you know, this entire time was Dez trying to rush himself back. But I really honestly think that this organization is going to say, whoa, you know, hey, big man, calm down, you know, relax, because, you know, this team cannot afford any issues or any problems with Dez Bryant coming back down the road. They're going to say, listen, man, we know that, you know, you want to throw up the X. We know that you're probably, arguably, the best receiver in the league. You're definitely top three. Most would argue top two right now. Just relax, okay? Get yourself healthy. We'll do enough, okay? We'll do what we need to do to be competitive, so when you come back, it'll put you in the best possible situation, you know? And, I mean, I'm looking at some of these games I want him for. I mean, yeah, we got a tough first couple games. If we get by Philly today, I think we can get by Atlanta next week, and then the Saints. That's all gravy. Obviously, it's going to be tough with New England. Then we got Seattle coming in, then the Giants again. So, I mean, it's going to be a little tough. But the games I want Dez back for is that Green Bay game, the Buffalo game. You know, I want him back for some of our division games later in the season, the Miami game. You know, so yeah, I honestly feel like Dez is going to have a chip on his shoulder, especially in the Green Bay game, and he's going to come back. Even if he's not feeling 100%, Dez is going to explode in that game, I think. So, you know, like I said, I was really upset, really nervous about it. In fact, I was just about as nervous as I was when Dez's catch was called back in January. Now I'm like, oh, geez, you know, there goes our season. There goes another year. Romo's, you know, not going to have a chance. And now I'm okay about it. Now that I sit down, I think about it, I analyze it a little bit, you know, I'm okay with it now. But, boy, I'll tell you, we really, really could use him. But I think that today, because arguably Philly is the other team in our division, that's good. I mean, it's going to be a Philly and Dallas division down the road. I honestly feel that you know, if we win today, it's going to speak volumes to what this team can actually do and who this team actually is.
Yeah, I agree.
So on the fantasy football updates here, I'm looking at some of these scores from around the league for those of you who may or may not be in front of a television. 14-0 New England over Buffalo. Buffalo came out hot, red hot out of the gate, and scored like on the opening drive right away. It's been back-to-back New England scores, which really kind of irritates me because I had Buffalo's defense in, although I should have thought better of it because they are playing Tom Brady, and, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. It is 3-0 Houston over Carolina. I picked Houston to win this game. They've won 6 consecutive road openers. Only team to do that. Arizona over Chicago, I picked that one. Arizona's up 14-7 at the moment here. In fact, the rookie, David Johnson, took the opening kickoff, 104 yards for a touchdown. I really want him to get injured. I want Chris Johnson to get the carries, but regardless, I'm looking at San Diego and Cincinnati, 7-3 in favor of the Bengals. Cleveland Browns, 14-0 over the Tennessee Titans at the moment. Detroit is down 7-0 to Minnesota, and Minnesota is in the red zone. 3-0 Tampa Bay over New Orleans, blah, game. 7-3 Atlanta over the Giants, 8-0 Pittsburgh over San Francisco, 10-0 Washington over St. Louis. That caps off the 1 o'clock games and what's in progress right now. We'll keep you updated if anything big or anything crazy happens, especially with the divisional games. Obviously anxious to see what happens with the Giants and the Redskins. There's a chance, Dustin. There is a chance today, okay, for if we beat Philly, it's a small chance because right now Washington's got a 10-point lead, but there is a chance today for us to be 2-0 and the rest of the division to be 0-2. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That is a huge swing for to have momentum. I mean, I know, you know, that there's no, you know, two games up in a division, and I know that the final record matters and blah, 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 but to have to be 2-0, comma, 2-0, meaning 2-0 overall, 2-0 in the division, and then have, you know, the rest of the teams in the division be 0-2, I mean, we really would only have to win, what, 6, 7, 8, probably 8 more games to be locked in, and I see eight more wins on this schedule. So today would be astronomically huge if we can pull that off.
Yeah, I think ideally, you know, 10 or 11 games is where you want to be with this football team. I mean, you don't want to regress, but it's starting to make a lot of sense. I know we're on, I think, episode 18 now, and when we first started doing the show, there was a lot of people that picked the Cowboys as the number one team to go, you know, from 12-4 to whatever, 8-8 again, as the most likely to regress. And at the time, all of us are like, get the hell out of here, because we are still in negotiations with Murray. We are still in negotiations with Dez, you know. So, I mean, you let go of Murray. I think he's underappreciated. I don't think anybody can run behind this O-line. I just think that was a big mistake on all of our behalfs, was taking for granted DeMarco Murray. It's the same thing as, you know, Romo. You only miss something once it's gone.
Oh, my God.
So,
Gronkowski.
What?
Damn it. The Buffalo Bills defense, I left him in because, you know, I figured they had a swag this year about him. The Buffalo was a solid unit that Rex Ryan had been talking all week about how they're going to stop Brady or whatever. Just threw another. That's three straight touchdowns, 21-0. Right, excuse me, 21-7 New England. And my gosh, I knew I should have picked up another D. I knew that they were playing Tom Brady, but I figured, you know, Brady struggled against the Dolphins last year, and I figured maybe the Bills would get after him. But to try to prevent an 0-2 start, I figured, maybe, you know, I'm spotted 10 points to begin with, so let's see what happens. And yeah, Bills defense right now, let's see, let me refresh this page here, this bad boy. Yeah, they've got me like 2 points right now. You know,
can you go to our website and look at our picks and see what everybody's picks were for that game?
Yes, give me a second here. Gotta pull
so
up
we
the
were,
internet.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll kill some time here. One of the topics that we did want to bring up was Colin Cowherd saying Romo will be the greatest quarterback to not make the Hall of Fame. I agree with him. Only if he does not win another, or win a ring, period, another, I wish. So, realistically, the guy puts up crazy stats. He's carried this team. A lot of people would argue, you know, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, that's all Romo, man. Like, because he had nobody. You were 8-8 those 3 years, in spite of all the BS you were throwing at him. So, still running. I hate the feedback I'm getting from you right now.
You're getting feedback from me?
Yeah, I was. Every time you walk away from
whatever. I don't hear nothing. Oh, you know what it was? I was stepping on the cord that leads into the microphone. That's what it was. We're looking at picks here, Mediation Monday, NFL Week 2 picks. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, I want to know who picked what for the
Bills fan.
For the Bills and fan. Okay. Well, Sunday. Let's go to the game, shall we? Patriots-Bills. Jeff picked Patriots. Obviously, Wade picked Patriots. That's not surprising. Bill didn't get his picks in time, unfortunately. But, you know, stuff happens. Jason picked the Bills. That a boy, Jason. I picked the Bills just because of the way that they made the Colts look last week. And Dustin picks Rob Gronkowski.
Oh.
Doesn't even say
right.
Patriots. It just says Rob Gronkowski, it says. So apparently,
I talked to
Rob
a lot
Gronkowski,
of Pats fans. I talked to a lot of Pats fans. I said, I cannot believe that this Buffalo Bills team is being projected to beat the Pats based on what? And everybody's like picking, you know, oh man, this Bills team is, it's gritty. It's like, dude, realistically, the Jets barely ever beat the Pats. Yeah, Rex Ryan can get in Brady's head, but how often did that lead to a victory? Not very often. So I said, until somebody shows me they can stop Rob Gronkowski, I'm not picking against the Patriots. If that means I pick them to go 16-0, then that's because I have not seen a single soul on defense show me that they can put Gronkowski on the ground or contest any kind of seam route, deep ball. I mean, it's not rocket science, people. You got to find somebody who can lay a hard hit on this dude. And until anybody can do that, this is what's going to happen. How many touchdowns does Gronk have? Do you have two already in this game, or is he only on one?
Just one. He's on one.
I thought he had that second one and the third one.
No, yeah, Julian Edelman had the first one. I believe Deion Lewis. I believe they rushed for the first, for
running
the second
back.
One.
Yep.
And then Gronk with the third one. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, man, I think it seems like that tight end position has completely evolved. I mean, everybody was unanimously saying that Jason Witten was easily one of the best tight ends in the game, and it seems like
it seems like now
he can't even get in the discussion because he doesn't fit this new hybrid mold of tight end where you got to be 6'8", 6'9". And be an absolute
Jimmy Graham,
monster.
Gronk,
yeah.
Safarian Jenkins, Jordan Cameron.
Yeah,
yeah, it's sort of the same. I see what you're saying.
Right.
Witten's
so,
more of like an old school type tight end.
Right.
Yeah.
He's I'll do a little bit of everything. I'll do the ugly stuff that doesn't get you any kind of praise. But
and
at the same time, you know, he's a great leader, but Witten's not exactly one of those, you know, jump ball threat guys. He's more of a, you know, you drill it at his chest just like that, though the game-winning drive last week. Romo just, you know, he had Witten run a comeback route right at the goal line and hit Witten right between the numbers as Witten boxed the defender out, and he'll make that catch every time. You know, most iconic moments for Witten is obviously that Philadelphia moment where he got his helmet ripped off his head and still continued, you know, running 20 more yards.
Oh, yeah.
Baller. So, I mean, he's a true leader and just oozes toughness. But, I just thought it was funny. I wanted you to read that on the air because I said Gronkowski. I'm not even picking the Pats. Show me you can stop Rob Gronkowski, and I'll start picking against the Pats. But until I see it,
I hear you.
No chance.
I hear you.
No chance. Not even if they're, they're playing the Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers. Pick a great team that's a Super Bowl favorite. Don't care. I'm picking the Pats until you show me you can stop Rob Gronkowski, because they literally are in middle finger to the world mode, and they're going to run up the score on every damn team they play this year. I don't know if it's going to lead to the 50 touchdowns it did back in 07 when they were pissed off, but it very well could.
Do you feel right now the Patriots are the favorite for a back-to-back Super Bowl?
Well, anybody who's listened to any of our broadcasts know that I said it's the biggest insult in the world to put a team that hasn't done anything and lost to the Super Bowl champions ahead of the Super Bowl champions as a favorite to win this year's Super Bowl. The freaking Indianapolis Colts, who've done nothing, who are basically celebrating a runner-up banner in their stadium. You want to talk about... Dude, that's the type of thing I would put in my stadium to piss my players off. Not as like a, hey, good job, guys. You mid it, pat on the butt. Like, this.
Well,
these
the Midwesterners,
scrubs.
Midwesterners are generally friendly people.
Oh, my God. These scrubs freaking. I feel so, like, bad for anybody who is a Colts fan right now. I mean, I do and I don't. Yeah, you got Andrew Luck. He's apparently going to be the next great Hall of Famer, probably going to be solo for a while and be able to just run a league because, realistically, Manning's going to be out, Brady's going to be out. Who comes next? Aaron Rodgers. So his only real competition as, like, a face of the league quarterback in, like, 4 or 5 years is going to be, like, Russell Wilson, assuming he actually learns how to throw. So...
True.
Andrew Luck actually has, like, the perfect timing in the world because, think about it, all the great players that we know are going to be retiring in 3 or 4 years. I don't think Brady's playing until he's 47. Like, you know, Brady's not playing until he's 50, like you said. You know, Manning's not going to – Peyton. Peyton Manning's not going
to
last longer
Peyton's
than two more years. Yeah, I think he is,
no,
too, but it seems like the worse he does in the playoffs, the less likely he is to hang him up. That's how much of a, like, fucking – like, a victory –
So basically,
you know,
he has to ride off in the sunset with a Super Bowl before he hangs it up.
Right. That's what he would give you the vibe because, I mean, most people would say after last year you got beat, you didn't even make it to the conference finals. Hang him up, guy. You know what I mean? Everybody was saying his arm looked like jello. He's looking like garbage. What do you have left to prove? I mean, the only thing I think he's going after now, I think he just wants to break every passing record alive. So at least when people start saying, yeah, but I think this is all Peyton's got now because at least when people are like, oh, come on, get out of here. You know, Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the league. At least you can try to argue by saying, well, Peyton Manning has every quarterback stat imaginable, and then it becomes individual stats versus team Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So, but realistically, I don't know.
Let me ask you, I think the general consensus right now, obviously, is that Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the league besides Aaron Rodgers. Is what people think. Obviously, when you look at the and Colin Cowherd said this great the other day. When you look at the Brady Manning discussion right now, Brady is starting to pull away. He's like a horse starting to pull away in a race right now. I mean, from Manning, and you know, a lot of people don't. This leads back to the Romo and Eli discussion of the what have you done for me lately type thing. I mean, Brady has won, you know, what, the 4 rings or whatever it is. He's been consistent. They've won that division 10 years in a row. The Patriots are always in the mix. And then you've got Peyton Manning, who has always kind of been the underdog in a way, who has been amazing, has been on great teams, great Colts teams who used to battle with the Patriots. Then he went to the Broncos, you know, immediately took the world by storm, went to the Super Bowl, the whole thing. So, but Manning has kind of silently broken records. He's had passing records, touchdown records, this and that going on. But Brady, I think, gets more recognition as being the better quarterback by anybody you'd ask. And, you know, he hasn't necessarily had the team around him to say that he's better. You know, I mean, Peyton's been on better teams, I think. I just think that Brady has been in a better system and whatever. But, I mean, I watch Tom Brady right now, and I'm watching this Bills game as we're doing this podcast. And, you know, I'm just seeing the things that Tom Brady does and the guys that he's throwing to compared to the guys that Peyton's throwing to. I mean, Peyton had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, okay? Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and I believe, again, Edgerton James, okay? And they only go to the Super Bowl once. Actually, they went twice. They lost to the Saints. But, Bills D, fumble, return for a touchdown. Ah, close, but that's going to help me. Fumble recovery, beautiful. Anyway, sorry, you know, good old fantasy. So, you know, and so Peyton does that, and he, oh, there's a flag down, you B-word. So I can't watch these games and do this. I cannot multitask. So Peyton is throwing to Demaryius Thomas, and, you know, what he had up until last year, Orange Julius, but he's had that solid team around him, and now you're looking at Tom Brady throwing to Julian Edelman, okay, where'd he come from? Danny Amendola, who was cut by the Rams. He was on the practice squad for years, okay? And I'm like, who are these guys that Tom Brady is turning into Pro Bowlers? Peyton Manning doesn't do that. Peyton Manning is the one who gets the accolades. Peyton Manning is the one who gets all the records and the stats and the this and the that. It's Tom Brady who's able to translate that into wins, Super Bowl wins, victories, different things. And so I'm like, I don't know, man. I
disagree.
Manning,
I think it's Bill
gets
Belichick.
The short end of the stick. You think so? That's to do with coaching?
Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt in my mind that if Bill Belichick took Peyton Manning, that Peyton Manning wouldn't have six championships. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that if Bill Belichick had Tony Romo since, you know, day one, they'd still have four championships. It doesn't matter. He's the greatest coach of our generation. It's not even close. Him and Parcells are in their own class as just football visionaries. And I just think it's more about the team when they get a W. It's not about Tom Brady. You know, there's nothing that jumps off the screen about his athletic ability or his arm strength that people are like, he's like a gun. Like, no, it's always he's intelligent. You know, 8 times out of 10, he can lead a fourth quarter drive if need be. But, I mean, look at his numbers last year, dude. He didn't do crazy numbers. You know, it was all about a team effort. That's why I never touch Patriots players when I'm drafting for fantasy football, because I know it's about the name on the front, and it's not about the name on the back of the jersey. It's about the name on the front. So, to me, I don't give Brady as much credit as everybody's ready to give him. You know, everybody's just basically like handing him the everything, greatest quarterback in our history, and I don't buy it. I don't think so. I just don't think individual position, I don't think he affects the game as much as a Peyton Manning in his prime did, or even a Brett Favre in his prime. I don't think Brady ever had that kind
Brett Favre.
I don't think Brady ever had that kind of hold on his team like those guys did.
That's potentially true.
Think about this one too. Think about Matt Cassel. They still won 10 games when Brady went down towards ACL. They weren't prepared for that. They weren't developing Matt Cassel. They're just like, crap, what are we going to do? First time ever somebody with a double digit win didn't make the playoffs. But they still 10-6 without apparently the best quarterback in history. How are you able to do that? That's like saying you pull Michael Jordan off the Bulls and they still win a championship. Like, that's a solid team. It's not all about just one player.
Totally with you on that one.
I don't think you are. I think you're staring at your TV screen.
No, I am. I am staring at my TV screen, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's one of those things where I've always sort of more felt bad for Peyton. I feel bad for these guys who don't get rings, who are really, really good. Like, of course, if Romo, like, let's say Romo wasn't on the
Chris,
Cowboys. Yes.
You watching Red Zone? Why don't you tell the
world? Red Zone?
Why don't you tell the world who you just traded away this week, and then tell me how his stats are doing today?
Well, yes. I actually am now kind of, you know.
Go ahead, tell everybody.
A little bit kicking myself here.
Who
all
you
right.
traded
well,
away
what happened
and
was,
who you traded for. Tell everybody.
Well, I needed a little bit of help in the department.
Sanity
in the running
department.
Back department. Yeah, in the fantasy, well, in the running back department. So what I did was I fell victim to over-analysis and over-analyzing things and players and teams. So what happened was, instead of just taking the fantasy points and the free fantasy points, I looked at Odell Beckham Jr., who I had drafted. He was my second pick, actually. And I looked at him, and I said to myself, after last week's performance against a sloppy Dallas secondary, I said, okay, well, Beckham is going to be double-teamed by everybody. because the Giants have nobody else to throw to. They have Preston Parker, who's got a case of the drops, and they don't have Victor Cruz. It's Beckham or bust for this pass game. So I'm thinking the teams are going to do whatever they can to lock in on this one guy and shut him down. Meanwhile, I needed help at running back, like really bad help at running back. So, you know, I got in touch with my buddy, and he's a Giants fan, and he's, you know, he's like, well, I want Beckham. Okay. I based on my logic that I just said, I don't think Beckham's going to be good till Cruz gets back. Till Cruz gets back. So I'm like, okay, fine, no problem. Who do you want to give me? And he's like, well, I have like five running backs. And he did. He had Ingram, Chris Johnson, Woodhead. Who else do you have? He had a couple other good running backs. I can't remember who exactly. I don't have it in front of me. But he had like five starter caliber running backs. And then I looked at Amari Cooper, who I think is going to be a stud in this league. Carr is back playing. Cooper is sort of that guy. He leads the team in targets throughout the preseason and through this season. So I'm like, you know what? I don't think Beckham's going to be all that solid until week five. And I really honestly need help at running back. And I'm going to try to play small ball and do this because whatever. And I was a little bit under the influence of a few things, which shall not be named. And went ahead and said, you know what, screw it, I need the running back help, and, you know, I'll play small ball for the rest of the time. So to recap,
folks, Chris decided to trade the dipshit with the ugly
Darren
hair
Sproles.
That plays for the Giants, and
yep.
Darren Sproles, who he reached on, I believe, with like his fifth, sixth round pick, and
yes.
He got back CJ... one-time 2K, who's now flushed completely down the toilet, and Amari Cooper.
I don't know about that. I mean, he's
CJ,
I mean, the dude's
CJ
number one receiver.
CJ not even going to get 1K this year. Only has 25 rushing yards. Heading into halftime. Amari Cooper has yet to play, but, I mean, you got to think Amari Cooper with Derek Carr with a thumb that can't even grip the ball. I don't see him doing that well today. But Mr. Beckham's already got 18 points, 100 and something passing yards, receiving yards, a touchdown, kind of like I believe I said I was sure that Beckham wasn't going to have back-to-back terrible games and that Eli just wants to sling it. God, that was just the dumbest trade I have ever heard in my entire life. How it didn't get vetoed. It blows my mind. I wasn't going to stand in as commissioner and be like, no way. But I leave it to the league. I don't think anybody was paying attention, to be honest with you. And there's like got to be a majority vote to cancel a trade, because that, to me, was the most one-sided, stupidest trade I have ever seen in my life. That's like trading.
Yeah.
That was like trading Peyton Manning in his prime for a kicker. That's what you did.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that bad, but I overanalyzed it. I thought to myself a little bit that, you know, the Giants have nobody else and that defenses are just going to be teeing off on Beckham until Cruz gets back when they have that dual threat option closing. And yeah, that's what I thought. So,
wow.
But anyways, yeah, another one of what?
67 yards, touchdown.
No, that wasn't another one. That was the original one.
No, I'm just watching the highlight.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
The whole time he's running, Chris is an idiot. Chris is an idiot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man. There's a gentleman's bet going on between Chris and I that my wife is going to have a better fantasy football record by the end of the year than Chris. And it's looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, you know, it is. I don't necessarily, like, all right, but let's put it this way. I changed my team name to Beats by Ray. One, because I think it's funny, but two, because that actually might end up happening. I am ready to kill my girl, put it this way. Not literally. So Cobb,
oh,
don't
blame your terrible draft strategy on your girl in a bad concert.
I was sitting at a concert. Hold on. Sitting at a concert on our anniversary, okay, which was a concert that she wanted to go to. Hold on. So she wants to go to this concert for our anniversary, and we do it, and she was like, you're not taking your phone out the whole time. Like, this is our anniversary. This is our concert, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you don't understand. The draft is today. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. Let it auto-draft, which I probably should have done, to be honest with you. Just let it auto-draft. But she's like, nah, I don't care. This and that. Plus, I was like, what? Like, I think 10th of 12 or something like that. So everybody that I had played out in my queue was already gone by that point. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Screw it. I'll reach on a couple of these, and I'll just hope for the best, because I'm sitting there with her bitching in my ear, like, get off your phone. This is our day. This is our blah, 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 blah. And me having terrible draft positioning, and part of me not really even caring. I mean, part of me being like, it's $20. You know, I wipe my butt with $20, no problem. You know, whatever. Now, if this was like DraftKings, and I had put like, you know, $300-$400 into this mix, then obviously I would have, you know, I would have been like, you know what, F your concert, I'm doing this. But the you know, the fact it's $20, it's just really for fun, and we get to listen to Dustin trash talk for the next 16 weeks. So how fun is that? Would be awesome. But yeah,
it's a long season.
Yeah, it's a very, very long season, and you know, I'm trying to play some small ball right now and try to eke out some wins. But, you know, now, Dustin, how does this playoff system work with us? Is this everybody makes the playoffs, or out of the 12 or the top 10, or how does it – top 8? Well, what is it?
It's top 8.
Top 8? Okay.
Yeah.
So four teams are going to be out of it then, which is the whatever. But, you know, the way I look at it, you know, last week was so wacky. Now, I know it's week one, but last week was so wacky that, you know, you thought really anything could happen. I mean, Beckham had a terrible game. Romo had a terrible game. You know, I had Jordan Cameron. Put it this way, I put Jordan Cameron in, and Jordan Cameron was supposed to get me like 14 points, got me like 4. And Austin Seferian Jenkins, who was projected to get like 3 points, got me 20. He was on the bench. So you never know. With these teams that are spreading the ball out a lot more now nowadays on offense, you just never know what's going to happen in a football game. And so
I'll tell you what, my freaking my picks are getting dinged up. I might have fantasy football on lock, but yeah, I mean, I know I picked the Patriots. I picked I'm not sure if I picked Carolina over Houston. I think I picked Houston to rebound. Maybe I picked Carolina, but Carolina has a barely lead over Houston.
I'll tell you.
Arizona over Chicago. I went the other way. I thought Chicago was going to rebound. I figured Cutler was going to come.
Well,
and
off. I will tell everybody right now. Well, first of all, the fact that Dustin has any faith in Jay Cutler to begin with kind of speaks volumes. But
any big games. But he does decent in the regular season. I had him as a fantasy QB last year. I won the championship with him. So it's got nothing to do with, you know, what he actually does when it counts. But he's a stat sheet stuffer.
Everybody picked the Chiefs. Everybody lost. I'm going to tell you right now all of Dustin's picks here on air live on this Cowboys, even though we haven't really talked about the Cowboys in forever, but in this Cowboys 90-minute Sunday, Dustin picked the Texans. You did. You did pick Houston over Carolina, as did I. For the Steelers 49ers, Dustin went with the Steelers. For the Bucks Saints, he picked the Buccaneers over that one. That's tough. I mean, after the way that they looked last week, kind of an interesting pick there. So, hey, it's all right. Interesting pick there. Lions Vikings, Dustin went with the Lions. And I'm pretty sure
Minnesota,
that the Lions are.
Three.
Yeah. Yep. Dustin went with the Lions. Cardinals Bears, Dustin picked the Bears.
The Bears.
Touchdown Buffalo. Yes. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Patriots Bills.
Says
Dustin
pass
picked.
Interference.
Patriots Bills. Dustin picked Rob Gronkowski. Chargers Bengals. Well, Dustin was the only one. Oh no, excuse me. Jeff also picked the Chargers. I was gonna say he's the only one to pick the Chargers. What's the score of that game right now? It's 14. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 14-6 Cincy on that one, isn't it? Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I also, picked the Bengals in that game. Titans-Browns.
Let's just be glad that Chris can pick football games a lot better than he can make trades in fantasy football, folks.
Well, that's my job. I don't get paid to do fantasy football. I get paid to analyze this stuff.
I get paid to do fantasy football because I win all the time.
Well, true. But, no, this is also the first year, by the way, that I only have one team. Usually I have 2, 3, 4 teams, but it just became too much to monitor. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I don't feel like being in a random league with a bunch of nobodies. I feel like, just concentrating on this league and whatever, because I have so much other stuff going on. Titans, Browns, everybody except for Bill. Bill from Long Island picked the Browns. Everybody else picked the Titans. So, interesting pick there by Bill.
Yeah,
Falcons,
Cleveland.
Giants. Dustin picked the Falcons. They are tied at 14 at the moment. Rams, Redskins. Everybody picked the Rams. Well, for those of you who may not be in front of a television set, 17-0 Washington at the half. We're all kind of looking stupid there. Dolphins, Jags. I don't think they've taken the field yet. No, they have not. But Dustin picked the Dolphins there.
I was just going to say, you don't have to go through all the nighttime games because we don't have any scores to update with.
Here's my thing, though. I'm just going to do one more real quick because
D'Angelo Williams, another touchdown. This kid, and that's my wife's running back, by the way, that she picked up. I mean,
Williams
is showing up. He's out of nowhere being like, hey, Carolina, go F yourselves for letting me go. The dude had a monster week one game. He's killing it this week. I'm starting to wonder if there's going to be any kind of, running back controversy there. Obviously, Bell is the clear favorite, but they might have to start splitting carries. Either that or Pittsburgh's just that damn good running the ball. I just don't know. I don't know what it is.
Question mark for you. I know it's a later game. Hasn't had a score yet on it, but Ravens and Raiders. Dustin's been talking about how the Raiders are going to be his sleeper pick and then watch the black hole and go, black and silver, blah, 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 blah. You picked Baltimore in this one, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm
the only team.
Just because I picked the Raiders to be like a dark horse team doesn't mean I have to pick up the win every week. I certainly didn't say they're going to go 16-0 or 15-1, and definitely not after Derek Carr apparently injured the thumb that he uses to grip the ball
with. He's playing this week, though. He's playing.
Yeah, I know. I get that. And I've had a sprained thumb before, and you can either chalk this up to me just not being that good of a quarterback or what. But when I can't grip the ball with my thumb, I'm utterly useless. So I just don't know how bad that thumb injury is. It's your throwing hand. That's terrible. That's like tearing the rotator cuff in your throwing arm. I just don't get it. So I'm worried.
Jackson with a touchdown. Why can't it be Jenkins?
Yeah, okay. I'm worried, and I think that there's no chance for Carr to put up any big numbers, and by result, I don't think Cooper's going to do well. So I thought that was a dumb trade by you. But realistically, whatever. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I have been wrong before, folks. It doesn't happen often, but I have been wrong before.
Yeah. And, part of me didn't want to do it, but part of me was also like, there's nobody left at running back.
139 yards, touchdown on 6 catches. ODB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going into half.
And you want to know? You want to know what's really funny? It's not funny. You might find it funny. I don't know how funny it is in my book, but my buddy, the kid that I reluctantly and stupidly gave Beckham to, yes, sacked by Buffalo D. Oh, flag down. F you. What is the flag? Anyway, the kid that I gave Beckham to, I play next week.
It would have been more fitting if you played him this week because right now he's tearing it up. He's projected to do the highest points out of everybody this week.
Yes. Well, if he wins the ring, I'll just buy the ring off him. Go ahead. I don't care. So, holding on the defense. Damn it, it takes the sack away. Oh, I fucking hate Buffalo. Sorry. So, anyway, it's just
for those
one of those
of you
things
who are
where...
wondering, Chris is projected to do a league-low 69 points.
Right now? Today? No, yeah. I was in the 80s today.
No, kid. You're not even going to break 70. This is like the old school Detroit Pistons holding teams under 70 for a record amount of games. Not even going to break 70.
No, I'll break 70 because you'll have, think about it, if you have Romo, by the way, your buddy Jay Cutler exits the game with a concussion.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So, come on, Buffalo D, get him.
He's not my buddy. I think he's a dick, but he's just pompous and funny, so I think he's funny. But he's definitely kind of a dickhead. I saw that documentary on Brandon Marshall on the NFL Network, and it shows him mic'd up with Cutler. And, I mean, Cutler is so, like, he's so cool kid funny. Like, dude, I know you're mic'd up. Get the hell away from me right now. I'm trying to pay attention. And then Marshall's, like, joking around with him. He's like, what are you doing? I said get away. Like, he's just such a freaking tool. He's such a tool.
No, he sucks. 3 minutes left to go here. Cowboy 90 Minute Sunday. We covered all the topics we needed to cover relatively quickly. So we've been just chatting, talking football for the last couple of minutes. Just so anybody wants
to
know.
Who do you
got
tonight
or
this afternoon?
This afternoon?
Dallas versus Philly, the only reason why we're on the air.
Well, oh, okay. Well, real quick, obviously I got Dallas. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be not necessarily
really?
A high-scoring shootout. Well, not necessarily a high-scoring shootout.
On the road, no
Dez
Bryant,
you're
saying shootout.
Well, I don't mean shootout like 45-38. I mean shootout like back and forth for a while. I think it's going to be like 28-24, Dallas. Possibly 26-21, something like that. But it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a 10-6 game, you know. So...
you got a safety in there somewhere?
Safety? Wait, what? Say that again?
I mean, I haven't heard anybody say 26 in football in like a decade, so I'm assuming you got like a blocked kick or a safety in there somewhere.
I don't know. The Giants had 26 last week. We beat them 27-26. It's doable.
I guess. I don't know. I don't see it that high scoring. I mean, I guess if it was that high scoring, it would be more fun to watch.
Like 20-17 or something?
Yeah, I do, but at the same time, I don't want to discredit Philly and tell them that they can only put up... They put up a lot of points last week, right? They got like 30-something?
No. They lost 26-23 last week. Or 26-24 or something like that. Yeah, look it up here. Real quick, we only got about 2 minutes left to go in the broadcast. Let me just...
You're
going
to have to check. I don't trust anybody who trades away Odell Beckham for a kicker. I don't. So you're going to have to verify for me.
I don't trust Sarah's with H's. Buffalo missed the extra point. How freaking ridiculous is that? Matchups. Real quick before we get off air here. Week one was, 26-24 Falcons over the Eagles last week.
All right, 24,
game ceiling.
24-17, Dallas.
Thank you very much for listening to Stars.
They don't look like a playoff team to me.
Tony Romo is expected to carry this team.
If you look at it on paper, and you know what the record is, and they're not very good.
This could very well be a bad season.
I think the older you get, the more you understand you're having to battle. You have the opportunity to be in a position we're at. I think you want to, you know, really cash in. If you continually look at it from the big picture perspective, take something from everything, you know, a loss, a win, whatever it is, and improve. If you do that, you're eventually going to be the best version of yourself. I think that's the culmination of what takes place in your career as a football player.
This is not a debate. This is a lecture.